Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Political conventions are in full swing. A midsummer heat will be the political heat of debate and discussion as delegates meet to select the candidate of their political persuasion whom they feel the voters will elect. The political conventions, according to Senator Mike Mansfield, are more like circuses. And he has called for their abolition and for the use of nationwide primaries to determine leading contenders for the race. Jack Anderson agrees, saying political conventions have become a blot on the American system and that they should be abolished. Oftentimes the liquor flows, deals are made, favors shown, gifts given, or votes may even be sold at a high price in an effort to get the names of certain candidates on the ballot. Politics, the late Will Rogers used to say, has got so expensive that it takes a lot of money even to get beat with. While a carnival-type atmosphere usually prevails at these conventions, at no time in the history of this great republic is there greater need of prayer and serious reflection as to where this nation is headed. As one magazine editor put it, these are days that try men's souls. These are days when, as a nation, we should be on our knees before God. With rioting and rebellion in our streets, with vice and violence prevailing, we are in serious danger of losing our country to the forces of insurrection. With a few more incidents like we've seen in Chicago and recent other cities, it won't be long before this country could be taken over by a mob of militants. One of the greatest dangers facing this nation is that we are not always being informed of what is going on, so that we can be losing our freedom without realizing it. As American Mercury magazine has boldly stated, in this election year you're going to have to search for the truth, because you won't find it on your corner newsstand. The terrible indictment of the so-called free press in America, according to this magazine, is that it is uniformly liberal, nihilistic, hedonistic, and even depraved. Having been in the field of news reporting for a score of years, we can attest to the validity of this assertion. For news is often twisted, distorted, flavored, lopsided, even biased, rather than factual and honest. In the final analysis, the press will largely assume the responsibility of the election by giving preferential treatment to certain candidates, presenting them in a favorable light, producing polls to persuade voter reaction and sympathy. Yet we believe that in seeking to improve the political climate of this country, that our greatest force is faith, and our greatest power is prayer. This nation was born in the agony of prayer. The first act of weary pilgrims as they set foot on American soil was to kneel to pray at Plymouth Rock. And every town meeting in New England during the early days of our nation's history found fervent faith and prevailing prayer ascending to Almighty God. Benjamin Franklin warned the Constitutional Congress in the early days of this republic. He declared, "We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Then stated Franklin, "I firmly believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the building of Babel." Daniel Webster recalls how our Congress began the practice of opening its sessions with prayer. We read from the record of the Continental Congress for September 6, 1774, where Webster wrote, "At the meeting of the first Congress, there was a doubt in the minds of many about the propriety of opening the session with prayer, and the reason assigned was the great diversity of opinion and religious belief." Webster goes on to relate, "At last Mr. Samuel Adams, his hairs graying, hanging about his shoulders, rose in that assembly. He said it did not become men professing to be Christian men to say there was so wide a difference in their religious belief that they could not, as one man, bow the knee in prayer to the Almighty, whose advice and assistance they hoped to obtain. Abraham Lincoln was once heard to pray, 'O thou God that heard Solomon in the night, hear me. I cannot lead these people, I cannot guide the affairs of this nation without thy help.' Solomon, you will remember, similarly prayed for divine help and wisdom. We read how the Lord appeared to him in the night to remind him he had heard his prayer. He would guide him and his people so long as they met certain conditions. For the Lord said to Solomon, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Well, this, my friends, is God's formula for answering the prayers of his people today. Well, during the Republican and Democratic conventions, when General Eisenhower was nominated, we were invited to Chicago at the invitation of nearly 100 churches. Our specially constructed cathedral caravan was parked directly across from the International Amphitheater. There was a daily witness of testimony and tract distribution. Some 50,000 tracts, some 20,000 convention notebooks were passed out. And on the cover of these notebooks was this verse quoted today in our broadcast, 2 Chronicles 7:14. When Mr. Eisenhower was nominated, we're told this verse was quoted by Governor McEldin of Maryland. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord says we would hear from heaven." Beloved, may this message continue to be heard. Our prayer is that God will bless America with a refreshing revival that would dispel sin and darkness and restore righteousness once again to our land. The book by John Stormer entitled The Death of a Nation. In this book is a chapter entitled Can America Be Saved? And mention is made of conditions that prevailed 100 years ago, similar to those seen prevailing today. As one historian noted, right before the Civil War, religious life in America was on a decline. Political strife provoked tremendous interest. The slavery question was of paramount importance. Men's passions and energies were being diverted into the channels of contention on either side of this controversy. Well, then a quiet, zealous Christian businessman by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere invited others to join him in a noonday prayer meeting once a week in downtown New York. 6 people showed up at that very first meeting, 20 at the second, 40 at the third. Within 6 months, there were 10,000 businessmen meeting every day at noon in New York City to pray. Well, what happened? Revival broke loose. Within 2 years, 1 million souls had been saved and added to America's churches. The revival spread abroad with other millions saved under the leadership of Dwight L. Moody, Hudson Taylor, and General William Booth. May God do it again. Well, believing he will, we encourage you to join in praying for revival. Some feel already we've gone too far, that we have surrendered to the forces of reaction and revolution. Having put prayer and Bible reading out of our schools, we've disowned God, dishonored his word. General Douglas MacArthur once observed, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline." There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. Did you hear it? Beloved, America is at the turning point. And her only hope is a heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-inspired, world-shaking, sin-shattering revival that will lead men again to forsake sin and wrongdoing, to return to God and to righteousness offered freely through Jesus Christ. Well, today, do you know your sins are forgiven? Are you on your way to heaven? Have you genuinely repented of sin to trust the Savior? And is he your Lord and Master? If you can't answer these questions in the affirmative, ask Christ right now to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then live in constant readiness for his soon return. For remember, our Lord hath said, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." His eyes are faced with many crowns.
Will you be ready to go? Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.